Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon, When God Says No, based on 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, you might recognize the passage I'm going to read is not one of the three passages assigned for today. I usually preach on one of the three assigned lessons. This is called a free text. Why? But because this week, into my pastor's office, the pastor's study, no less than four different people came to talk to me with heavy burdens on their heart. And basically, they all came with the same concern. How come I've been praying and asking, and God seems to be saying no? After that, came into my office, I thought, okay, we're going to have a message about this today. Our text are the words of St. Paul from 2 Corinthians 12. Listen to what Paul wrote. Paul wrote this: Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations given to me, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, three times I asked the Lord that it might depart from me, but he said to me, No, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul says, Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, with insult, distress, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This would not be the Sunday morning to drift off somewhere and think about other things you've got going on during the day. This is a Sunday to listen, because every one of us has experienced this when God says no. So what do? When God says no to your prayers for a solution to a particularly difficult situation. Now, we all love I forgot to tell you, please turn in your handouts to your sermon outline, and you can follow the sermon with the outline provided. We all really like the numerous biblical accounts of healing. When people came to our Lord Jesus for themselves or for others, and he healed them. And we love the modern heartwarming stories that people tell of God's intervention in their life in a seemingly impossible situation. But how do we respond when God says no? When we have prayed in faith, when we have prayed with earnest hearts, and God still says no. We rightly rejoice with others when God brings a yes for a solution to their problems or a healing for their sickness. But we wonder, what about my mother? What about my father? What about my husband? Why weren't they healed from illness or heartache? And to be even more personal, we might say, Oh Lord, why are some delivered from their problems and I'm not? Why do you say no to me, Lord? So I ask you again, how do you face God's no? This was the question Paul was wrestling today with in our text from 2 Corinthians. Regarding his personal problem, Paul says this: Three times I asked the Lord that it might depart from me, but God said, No, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul began this chapter in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians talking about a powerful spiritual experience that he had. Now, it must have been really something. And perhaps Paul was tempted to be proud or to be filled with himself, to bring him down a couple notches so he was more God-dependent and less Paul-dependent. Paul says he was also given what he calls a thorn in the flesh. Now, we never find in Holy Scripture what the thorn is, but this text suggests it was painful, It had been going on for quite a while. And as a man of God, God took this problem to God in prayer. Not once, he said, not twice, he said, but three times Paul pleaded and agonized with God to take away the thorn. And guess what? God said, no. How could God possibly say no to a great man like Paul? How could God say no to the greatest of the apostles who started countless New Testament churches and wrote himself 2/3 of the New Testament of the Bible? You might remember that Paul was blinded on his way to a town called Damascus, but then he was healed of his blindness. But God said no to the thorn. In Acts 28, we learn that Paul was in a shipwreck on the island of Malta. Men in our men's Bible class on Tuesday mornings, we just studied this last week. On this island of Malta, Paul was bitten by a poisonous snake, but he didn't die. And the Bible doesn't even say he prayed for healing, but he was healed. Yet when Paul prayed for a healing from his thorn, God said no to the thorn. During his own ministry, Paul was used by God to heal others. In Lystra, he healed a man crippled from birth. In Ephesus, he cast out a demon from a tormented girl. In Troas, Paul restored a boy who was dead. Yet Paul's own thorn wasn't healed. God said no. When Paul and Silas were locked in a prison in Ephesus, they prayed. And I should say in Philippi, they prayed and they sang, and the prison doors flung open and their chains dropped off. But when Paul prayed about his thorn, God said no. Do you remember the children's message? Remember the two signs? What were they? No and instead. After God said no to Paul, he said instead. My friends, when God says no to you, now is the time to be really paying attention. When God says no to you, look for God's instead. God does not say no to his beloved children without responding, but instead. Let me say that again. When God says no to you, look for God's instead. God said to Moses, Moses, you will not enter the promised land with all the people of Israel after the Exodus. Joshua is going to do it. Moses, you won't make it to the promised land. But Moses, later in centuries to come, I will transport you across time and space. And you will be on the Mount of Transfiguration with my beloved son, Jesus, who will soon go to the cross for the sins of the world. No, Moses, but instead, this is coming. When King David's son by Bathsheba was stricken with illness, David prayed and pled for the boy's life, but the boy died. God said no. But later, when Bathsheba was pregnant again, God said yes, and instead, Solomon was born. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 11 that so many faithful Old Testament saints of God died without receiving the promise of seeing Jesus face to face in this life. Instead, God prepared them for a better life, an eternal life in heaven, where they would see their long-awaited Savior face to face. No turned into instead. My friends, when God says no, look for the instead. That's just a fancy way of saying what our godly parents and grandparents have told us over the years. They used to say, God will never close a door without opening up in a window. But let me rephrase that today. God will never close a window without opening a door. What does that mean? A door is bigger than a window. Often what God does for us after a no is bigger and deeper and wider than the narrowness of our request. God said no to Paul's request. Instead, he said, I'll give you something better than that. Better than healing of your thorn, my grace will be sufficient for you. Why grace? He could have said peace, salvation, or love, but he said grace. Let's remember what grace is. The unsought, unasked, undeserving, unmerited goodness of God. Grace is what God does for us without our asking. Later at the altar, I'll be praying through the prayer cards you deliver. We've been receiving some over the last weeks who keep coming with the same request. Great, God loves to hear the prayers of his children. But be encouraged. Sometimes God says no, because he has for you, and instead. When you have a thorn, you may not know what to ask for. You see, we ask for blessings, for what we think we need. But instead, remember God's instead, God gives us what we really need, like grace to St. Paul. Without even asking for it, when God says no, he just might be saying to us, instead, I'm going to give you what you really need, without you asking for it. Instead of an immediate yes, it might be coming down the line in a bit. Sometimes God's instead replaces his no. Again, when we have a thorn in our life, whatever that thorn might be for you and me, sometimes we don't know what to ask for that's the best for us. It was true for St. Paul. Instead of taking away his thorn, Paul got from God what he really needed to be the most powerful apostle on the face of the earth. He got God's grace. Paul learned thereby a complete dependence on God's grace and strength. That's why Paul could say, when I am weak, then I'm really strong, because I'm not depending on Paul, but upon God. Again, when we have a thorn in our lives, anybody hear of a thorn? We do. We may not know what's best to ask for. The pain may be so bad, the heartache so piercing, the burden so heavy, all we can think to ask for is relief. But remember, God's grace means that without you even knowing what to ask for, God will take care of you. Some years ago, I went to see a church member who had been hospitalized many times and was now sent home to die by the doctors. His faith in his Savior had been shown again and again by his willing service in his congregation, by his love and care for members, but especially his own personal outreach to guests and visitors. Our congregation had been praying for him very earnestly. This gentleman, this beloved man of God, had gone to the threshold of death and back more than a few times. This time, when I went to visit him at his home, he didn't even recognize me as his pastor. My heart was heavy. Why? Because I came face to face with God's no. I didn't like it. In my prayers, I said so. This loving man of God now could not even speak words out loud, couldn't say anything out loud to God in prayer, but I knew that day that God had directed my heart by his Spirit to speak these words to that man that Paul says in our text. God said to me to say to this gentleman, 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is sufficient for this beloved child of mine. My power is now made perfect even in his time of weakness. God was saying then, and God is saying now, without their even asking, I will take care of my own. I will take care of my own. You, we are in God's hands. My friends, as we do every Sunday, look at that crucifix, that cross above our altar. It's there for a reason. See there the nail-pierced hands of Jesus, your Savior. You are still in His hands. Those hands that were nailed to the cross to pay for your sins and the sins of the world are firmly wrapped around you. Those hands that burst forth from the tomb for your salvation are the same hands that are caring for you. God's grace to you in Christ Jesus, as it was for Paul, is still sufficient. That's what God told St. Paul. And he also said to Paul these words, "My power is made perfect in your weakness." In other words, after our Lord says no, he says, "Not only will I continue to care for you, but my power will be shown in you and through you and for you. Because you are weak, my power will more than handle your need. And what I finally do in you and through you will be even more glorious. And your faith in me will grow." God said to St. Paul, God says to us, "My power will be made perfect even in your weakness." Just wait and see. This Paul, whose thorn in the flesh God did not remove, instead wrote almost all the New Testament. The devil must have thought he had Paul shut up when he was thrown into a Roman prison illegally with no cause. But while in that prison, God used that time to unleash Paul's pen, and we have the New Testament because of it. God said no. But God's instead overcame the no. Paul established more churches than anybody else in the Bible. Paul is quoted by more people except than for Jesus. Paul is the greatest of New Testament theologians who has influenced billions of people. Oh, dear Lord, you told Paul what you tell us today. You say to us, as you said to Paul, "My grace is more than sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." God's instead replaces his no. One of the most godly men I know and most dynamic preachers I know is a wheelchair-bound man with a lifelong affliction of cerebral palsy. At first glance, it would be easy to say about this pastor confined to a wheelchair, "That guy is weak, he's ill, his life is of no consequence. What kind of pastor could he be?" But when you hear him preach, he has the power of the strongest man in the Bible, Samson. God says, "My power is made perfect in your weakness." God's instead replaces his no. And one of the most beloved and powerful hymns in the entire Christian church is the classic, "Just As I Am." You might recognize it. We sing it often during communion. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." This hymn, and many others, was composed by a woman named Charlotte Elliott, a woman who was bedridden for 50 years. "My power is made perfect in weakness." Her legs could not walk, but her pen was unleashed, and she never ceased writing beloved hymns. God's instead replaced God's no. My friends, when we face God's no in our lives, we can join St. Paul and so many others who have moved off of Complaining Avenue and taken up new residence on Praise Street. Paul's confession of faith can be ours when Paul said, "Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in Christ, then I am strong." In the name of Jesus, amen.